Peace be with you. Friends, today I'm continuing the discussion of the seven deadly sins. It's one of the tools in our tradition for soul doctoring and examination of the soul. What goes wrong with us? These deadly sins, these deadly dysfunctions. And then I'm proposing seven lively virtues, antidotes, if you will, to these deadly sins. Last week we talked about the sin of sins, the one that all the spiritual masters say is the root, the head of all the other sins, namely pride. And I interpreted it as self-regard. I'm caught up in the little narrow space of my ego, and so I can't get lost in the reality around me. What's the antidote to pride? Humility. Being close to the humus, close to the earth, lost in the simple beauty that's all around me. A quote I wanted to use last week, I'll use it now to start off. One of the spiritual masters said, "You have everything you need right now to be happy." What he means is, we have God's truth and goodness and beauty all around us in the simplest things. But we convince ourselves that I need more of this, I need more of that, I'm not satisfied. The humble person knows this great simple truth. Now, let's move on with two more of the deadly sins. The next one, envy. Envy. Here's a quote from Gore Vidal, the American novelist. "When a friend of mine succeeds, something in me dies." That's a tough quote, and it's a wonderfully honest quote. I bet most of us, if we look honestly into ourselves, there are times when we feel exactly this way. When a friend of mine succeeds, something in me dies. That is the voice of envy. Or turn it around, and you have what the Germans call Schadenfreude. That means the joy in someone else's misfortune. So, to turn Gore Vidal around, when a friend of mine fails, something in me comes to life. Again, fellow sinners, if we are honest with ourselves, we know that sometimes this is true of us. That my ego gets inflated when you fail. My ego is cast down when you succeed. That is the voice of envy. Can you see it in the scripture? On almost every page. You could argue that envy is the driving force of the narrative of scripture. Cain is jealous of Abel, commits the first murder. Jacob is jealous of Esau, cheats him out of his birthright. The brothers of Joseph, they're jealous of Joseph, and they sell him into slavery. Saul is jealous of David, tries to kill him. The other disciples are jealous of James and John, etc., etc. All up and down the scriptures. And if you look in world literature, too, I would say, you find this dynamic very clearly. Envy, envy. Looking at the other, resenting his or her success, rejoicing in his or her failure. That's the second of the deadly sins. Can you see how envy is a daughter of pride? Pride is self-regard. I'm looking at my own ego. In envy, I look out at you, and I say, "Oh, you've got more than I've got." Or I rejoice that you have less than I have. In both cases, I'm looking basically at myself and then comparing you to me. What's the antidote to envy? Simple word. Admiration. In Dante's Divine Comedy, the envious are punished. How? They have their eyelids sewn shut. It's a kind of a gory but beautiful detail. The trouble with envy is, I spend my whole life looking out at you, not in admiration, but in resentment. I'm looking out and comparing you to me. And so Dante says, your eyelids ought to be shut, so that you look out not in resentment, but you can learn how to look out in admiration. Now Christians, listen. A basic truth of our Christian faith is we are owed nothing. Creation is a free gift. What is creation? The gift by which God gives the whole of reality. Everything we have, life and being and goodness and talent, is all a gift, freely given. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. I didn't merit it. But everything was received as a gift. Therefore, why am I in a position to resent what someone else has? Or to rejoice inordinately in what I have, as though somehow I deserve more attention, or I deserve more gifts? None of us deserves anything, period. Now, the upshot of that, when we really let it sink into our hearts, is we should admire whatever we see in ourselves or others. Admire it. Stop resenting it, claiming it, deserving it. Rather, as you look out at the world, in yourself or in others, say, thank you, Lord, for these gifts. Thank you for this beauty that you've given, wherever I can find it. And stop playing the game of resentment. How about some practical advice? When you find yourself caught in the deadly sin of envy, go out of your way to praise the person that you're envious of. You know, we all have this in our hearts. I know I do. There are people that just bug me, and frankly, it's because I'm jealous of them. I'm envious. Go out of your way in the course of the day, in the course of the week, to praise that person. Maybe to his face, but maybe to somebody else. But force yourself to say, Lord, I admire the gift you've given to this person. Not resenting it. I'm grateful for it. Relatedly, stop comparing yourself. And I'm giving this speech to myself because I always fall into this trap. Christians, we all have a mission that's distinctive, that's unique, that's ours. Stop looking at other people and resenting what they have. They've been given their gifts because they've got a distinctive mission. Now, rejoice in it. Admire it. But stop resenting it. You've got your own task, your own mission. Maybe that's the beauty of Dante's image of shutting the eyelids so you can look more intently at yourself and say, well, Lord, what have you given me? And what do you want me to do with it? So the deadly sin is envy. The antidote is admiration. A second one I want to talk about today, one we all struggle with, anger. Anger. I'd be willing to bet there's enough anger in Chicagoland to destroy the planet. If you were to take all of the energy of the anger of Chicagoland, it would be enough to blow up the earth. Whenever I talk to groups of people, I say with complete confidence, there's enough anger in this room to light up the city of Chicago. Wherever human beings gather, you know there's an awful lot of anger. It's something that we all wrestle with and deal with. In the course of my pastoral ministry, when I was in the parish full time, I knew families that were just rent apart by anger. Knew what he said to me 10 years ago, what she did last year, what my kids said to me, what my parents did to me when I was young, and on it goes. In some cases, and you all know the truth of this, in some cases, the people in question have long forgotten what caused the resentment. It might have been something 30 years ago, but they're still wrestling with it, still agonizing over it. In Dante's Divine Comedy, I love how the angry are punished. They're punished by having to breathe in smoke. They're surrounded by smoke, which burns their eyes and makes them cry, as smoke does. It gets in their throat and it chokes them. They're hacking and coughing. That's a great image, I think, for what anger does to us. It blinds us. We don't see clearly. We sputter and we don't know how to talk. We lose our way. We lose our orientation. Most of us are choking on some old resentment, some old anger. What's the antidote to anger? What's the lively virtue that corresponds to it? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Christians, forgiveness is right at the heart of the gospel of the Lord. It's one of the themes of his preaching, continually, forgiveness, that God is forgiving love. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What is forgiveness? It's the love that gives a second chance. We have a God of second chances. I've done something wrong, Lord. I've messed up. I've sinned. Forgiveness says, I will not chain you to that error. I will not chain you to that sin. But rather, I will liberate you from it. I will give you a second chance. As God has forgiven us in Christ, so we must forgive each other. Christians, the deadly sin of anger is locking ourselves and others into sin. We can't forget, and so we lock ourselves into a prison of anger. You know, St. Paul said, it's for freedom that Christ set us free. What all the deadly sins have in common is they imprison us. Remember, pride locks you into the prison of your own ego. Envy locks you in that same place. Now, anger locks you in the prison of your past resentments. Forgiveness is the language of liberation. We free ourselves and we free others. Can I give two pieces now of practical advice as we close? First of all, friends, I know this applies to everyone listening to me. Take some steps this week to repair a broken relationship. That means a phone call, a letter, a visit, maybe something as simple as a prayer. But take some concrete step to repair a broken relationship, to get yourself and the other person out of the prison of anger. Second, let's stop the game of gossip. From gossip and critique, the deadly sin of anger lives and thrives. Here's a real practical piece of advice. Criticize somebody only in the measure that you are willing at the same time to do everything in your power to help the person deal with the problem you are criticizing. That's wonderful and very difficult advice. If you feel tempted to criticize someone, great, go ahead, off you go. As long as you are willing to say, and I will do everything I can to help you deal with this problem. If you are not willing to make that commitment, then stop the criticism. Stop the gossip. Say something this week that is constructive and helps somebody, makes them more alive. The deadly sins lock us into a prison. The lively virtues free us for Christ. Find some freedom this week. Freedom from your envy. Freedom from your anger. Move into the space of Jesus Christ. God bless you.